Welcome to Conversations with Aaron and Jill on the Light Your Heart with Hope podcast. This topic today is really difficult, and Mom, you and I can both relate to this. The question we received was, how do you have hope when it seems like one bad thing after the other keeps happening? Let's put this in other words that you and I have said many times before. Mom, when is the next shoe going to drop? I can't count the amount of times that I have said that, and I'm just being very honest and vulnerable that throughout my life, I have waited for the next shoe to drop. And
that is
like,
horrible. It is.
It is.
An awful way to feel and think, but it's reality.
Yeah. And I just want to keep it real and keep it honest and authentic and say, we've had a lot of really hard things happen in our life. And when you've experienced a lot of pain, you almost start to become, you almost start to expect pain.
Which is really hard.
And which is why this topic is really hard, but we want to talk about it with you because we know that we're not the only ones who feel this way, that need hope that something is going to get better. We need hope that things will be okay.
Right.
So let's talk about it. I'm just going to start with my own personal experience, just some of the things that I have gone through in the midst of just asking, like, how do I find hope when I'm just expecting the next shoe to drop? And because I've experienced a lot of pain through the loss of Hunter, everything Dad went through with cancer and everything I went through health-wise and depression, anxiety, and also physical pain, I've experienced a lot of physical pain, pain that doesn't go away. And that's really hard. And, you know, pain began to paint the picture of who I thought God was.
Ugh.
And that's really, really hard. And when we are in the depths of pain, sometimes we see God through that lens and we start to expect that God is just going to allow more pain to happen. And my pain determined how I defined truth. And that started to really paint the picture of how I was living my life, how I was walking through life. But the truth is that I had to go back to what I knew was true.
Right.
Of who I knew that God is. And when we know who God is, I believe that it helps us to have hope when we feel like one bad thing after another is happening. And I want to share a quote that is comforting to me. It's by Lisa Turkhurst. She says, "When I desperately want to know why something hard is happening, I remember God had all the answers and he still wept."
Wow, what a beautiful quote that is.
Jesus knows what it's like to go through hard things.
And one hard thing after the other in a very short period of time.
And
as
what
far
I
as
love,
his earthly life, I mean, he experienced one hard after the other. And he was God, so he actually knew what was coming.
Right.
And so even knowing what was coming, it didn't make it any easier. And I think that's important for us to remember that even if we did know what was coming, even if we did know the future, it would not make it any easier for
us. It's not like it would take away the pain.
No, no. And even, you know, I've thought about, even if I understood why God allowed Hunter to suffer and why God allowed Daddy to get cancer three times, why God has allowed you to walk through an eating disorder and Lyme disease. I mean, if I had, why he has allowed you to endure pain and why we have experienced fear and anxiety and depression, if God sat down with me and told me all the reasons why, it wouldn't erase the pain that I've experienced from that. And I think God is, you know, what you said, pain began to paint the picture of who you thought God was. We can put any word in there for pain.
Yeah.
We can put fear. Fear began to can paint the picture of who we think God is. Worry, if we've been hurt by other people, I mean, that can start to, you know, mess with the way that we understand God and his character.
Well, and you said too how God, Jesus, knew what was coming. And in that specific quote, Jesus had all the answers and he still wept. This specific part is that Lazarus, one of his best friends, had died, but he knew he was going to raise him from the dead, and yet he still wept. What I love about Jesus and what is shared in scripture about Jesus is that he was human and God, fully human, fully God.
Right.
And so he knows the pain that we've endured. And there is something so comforting about that, to know that the creator of the universe, Christ himself, who died for us, knows what it's like to endure pain, knows what it's like to have one bad thing after another happen. And he felt that pain too. So that it just brings me comfort in my own pain to know that he understands.
And that he's with us,
right,
in the midst of it. And that we are not without hope. You know, we're not without help for the future and this moment. And, you know, I think of how I have experienced what we're talking about here. And it could even be a phone call. After you've experienced so much pain and you've gone through so much, someone could call you out of the blue. And before you even answer the phone, you're like, something's going to happen. And it's dealing with that anxiety of another bad thing coming into your life. And that is not an easy thing at all. And that is why, for me anyway, I have to seek God and be intentional about my relationship with God, because I'm just going to be honest. Like, I do think, when's the next bad thing going to happen? And that is based on what we've already experienced. And in counseling, even, I have struggled, and I've shared how, because I experienced the loss of a child, even with you, Erin, going through your experience and what you've been through and the pain you've endured, I struggle with that fear. Am I going to lose another child? And that's just, I'm just being honest and open and real with the experiences that I've had in regard to the question that we were given. And that is something that I have to take to God and talk about. I think that's the thing too, is talking about it with someone else, so that doesn't fester, so that doesn't stay hidden in my heart, but that I bring that fear and that worry out into the light. And I think that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about fear, anxiety, worry. And Jesus talks a lot about worry in the Word of God. And I know we'll share some of those verses, but I think, you know, we need to get to the root cause of this question. And the root cause, I believe, is fear. And the opposite of fear is faith. You know, it's having faith in God's perfect plan. It's having faith that God will come through. It's having faith that, yes, we could pray for something, but that his answer, his perfect answer, is far better than any answer that we might want, because he sees the bigger picture and he knows.
I just want to encourage the listener that you are not without hope. Even though it seems like it's one bad thing happening after another, there is a God who meets you in each of those things, and actually doesn't just meet you in them, but he's walking through it with you. He knows what's coming, and he promises to provide for you today and also when that next thing comes. Because the truth is we live in a fallen world.
Right.
Bad things happen to everybody. Everybody right. experiences pain sometime in their life. But the person that asked this question, clearly, it's someone who's had a lot of suffering,
right.
things bad that have happened to them over and over again. And like we've said, Mom, you and I can relate to this, but you are not without hope. Today may seem unbearable. Tomorrow may seem uncertain, but there's a God who holds today and tomorrow in his mighty, all-powerful hands. He's holding you. And he's not going to let you go. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. He's holding you. And because of this, hope is not lost. Hope is never lost.
Amen. And we had mentioned worry, and I just want to, you know, after what you just shared, I just want to share these verses in Matthew about worry that Jesus was sharing with his disciples, where he said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that now, even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, I love when there's a but in the word of God, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. That was a lot, but I love those verses. And he repeats himself over and over again, do not worry, do not worry. He talks about simple things, right? Like eating or drinking or what you're going to wear. And, you know, we're women, so we think about that. But it's like he takes care of the birds. We talked in another episode about how I have birds in the house. They're just a reminder to me that if God's going to take care of that bird, he is absolutely going to take care of me. And so no matter what fear we're carrying in this moment because of what has happened in the past, and that's the other thing too, we're carrying into the present what has happened in the past.
Yeah.
And God wants us to live in the moment. He gives us just enough light for the step in front of us. And that's it. He knows the future, like you've already said, and it's all in his mighty, powerful hands. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. We can trust that God has a perfect plan for each and every day. And that might include more pain.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
That's hard.
That's hard. Yeah. I mean, these things that we're talking about, this is a very deep, hard, and difficult conversation, because like you said, obviously this person has already gone through a lot. And we have gone through a lot. And I know you're not, but we're not trying to make light of this.
No, not at all, because we've asked this question.
Yes, yes. And I know that this is a feeling that I wrestle with sometimes daily, depending on the season that I'm in. I have wrestled with this daily, wondering what's going to happen next. And I don't want to live that way. God is a God of hope, and he does not want us to live with that mindset. So how can I change? How can I do that? Is just by renewing my mind and remembering what is true. And there are so many verses that I run to for that encouragement and for that help. And, you know, I have my little 3x5 cards. I talk about this a lot in episodes, but it's so important to me, especially when I'm struggling a lot. I will carry my 3x5 card reminders of God's words so that I can renew my mind with what is true, instead of hiding from what I think could happen and fearing what I think can happen, or remembering the pain of the past and bringing that into my present.
Let's talk about some tangible, practical things that we can do to help us have hope when one bad thing after another seems to be happening. Number one, pray and praise in the midst of it. That's really hard. And I'm just going to be honest and say it like it is. That's hard. It's hard to pray and it's hard to praise when one bad thing after another is happening. But from personal experience, I can tell you that when I am filling my day-to-day with worship, when I am spending time with God, when I'm talking to him, that it helps carry me through. And like we've talked about in previous episodes, be honest with God.
Yes.
Tell him what you're feeling. Tell him what you're going through. Tell him that you're angry and that you're confused and that you don't understand why he's allowing these things to happen.
Right.
Pray and praise him in the midst of it. Number two, fill your mind with the truth of God's word. He will meet you right where you are. Spend time in his word so that you can know him and that he can be an anchor for you in whatever it is that you're going through.
Right. And speaking of God's word, there's a verse in Romans, I believe it's Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. I mean, all three of those things are so important. Rejoice in hope, be patient in struggle, in tribulation, be patient because you know that God is going to work it all together for good. But, and to be constant in prayer and to pray without ceasing, like, how do we do that? In my mind, it's in regard to what you've already said, to pray and praise anyway and all the time. And how I'm able to do that is if I have worship music on and that becomes a prayer of my heart. And that truth pouring into my heart, I'm able to pour that truth out. And so I think it's that constant being in the presence of God that really does change everything and brings us the hope that we need when we're fearful or worried.
Another one that has really encouraged me to continue to have hope is that this is not the end of the story.
Yes.
Don't judge the book in the first chapter.
I love that. That should be the title of the book.
It could be. Hey, it might be
Don't
someday.
Judge the book by the first chapter.
But this is not the end of your story.
Right.
Sometimes when we're going through something that's really heartbreaking and just seems absolutely horrible,
right,
we need to be reminded that this isn't the end of the story. Ultimately, forever, heaven, that's the end of our story here on earth forever. Right. And when we keep forever in mind, it helps us to not be stuck in what's happening today in the temporary. There's this quote that I love by Paul David Tripp in his book, Forever. And it says, living with forever in view gives you an unshakable reason for hope.
Oh, I love that.
That's so true. When we focus on forever, when we focus on the God of forever, that he has a plan and a purpose for everything that we go through on this earth, we can know that eternity is far better and that what we're going through here is not the end of the story.
And some people use that cliche, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But I think it's the exact opposite, honestly. When you are heavenly minded, you are earthly good, meaning like you are able to have so much hope that the hope that you have for eternity and knowing what's to come, that people around you can get that hope from you and
be encouraged.
Exactly. I was thinking of a scripture too that talks about, you know, in context of a present struggle. And it's in 1 Peter 5:10. After you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I love that because it gives me assurance that, yes, if I'm in a season of struggling, that eventually, in God's perfect timing, he's going to restore me. He's going to strengthen me. He is with me in the midst of the journey. And he will make, I quote this verse all the time, but I'm quoting it for myself and hopefully the listener, you know, it's impacting their life, but that God will work all things together for good for those who love him and those who are calling according to his purpose. And sometimes, you know, that's in Romans too, but we get confused. Like we think the good is like our good, like what we think is good. But the ultimate good is that we become more like Jesus and that we know God more.
And this question says, it seems like one bad thing after another is happening. I think sometimes, I can say in my own life that I associate hard with bad, but hard doesn't equal bad. And God can actually use the hardest circumstances in our life for the most good. I believe that our lives are a testimony of that.
Right.
Especially with Hunter and this horrible disease that he had, God used it for good.
Yes, he did.
And this is something that I've definitely wrestled with because in my mind, hard, painful things have seemed bad. But like that verse has said, after you have suffered a little while, sometimes it takes perspective that after you have suffered a little while, you can look back and say, God was in it.
Right.
He met me in the midst of it. And it is important that when you're going through these hard circumstances, one after the other, honestly, no matter when you're going through hard circumstances, remember the good that God has already done. I say this a lot, but it's a great reminder to me to look at what God has done. Because when we look at what God has done, especially in the midst of the hard circumstances after we've gone through a difficult season, when we look to what he's already done in the past, we can have assurance and confidence in what he's doing in the future. So if you are worried that one bad thing after another is going to continue to happen, you can have assurance that God met you where you were before and he will meet you where you are to come tomorrow, come the future. If bad things are going to happen tomorrow or the next day, God is with you. He's been there all along and he's not going to change his mind now.
And we're not saying, I just want to clarify, we're not saying that the hard thing isn't bad. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that happen in this world
right.
that are absolutely evil and absolutely bad. We're not saying that any of that is good. We're saying that God can take all of that and promises to and use it for good, work right. it all together for good. He's not saying that a disease is good.
Right.
It's evil and right. it's bad. He's not saying that things that happen to people, there's wicked, horrible things that happen in this world. That is evil and that is bad. What we're saying is that he takes all of that and he works it for our good and his glory. And you're right about perspective. When you're in the midst of it, honestly, you don't even want to hear that. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in the midst of a struggle, when you're in the midst of suffering, when someone's like, he's going to work it all for good. You don't want to hear that. Let's just be honest. I mean, it's offensive sometimes because you're in such pain and you've gone through so much. And we have no idea, I'm speaking to the listener, what you have gone through, what you have had to endure, or what someone you love has had to endure. So please understand that we are not making light of having to endure one hard thing after the other. You all have a story. You all have struggles. We all do. I think what we're trying to focus mostly on is the God who's in the midst of that with us and the God who gives us hope that, like Aaron said, this is not the end of the story. And it's not. It is not the end of the story. God has so much more, immeasurably more planned for us. And when we can be in the present, but have an eternal mindset and remember what God has prepared for us, it does help us to endure. It's not easy though. It's just not.
Yeah, no, it's not at all. And we are just sharing based on what we have walked through and what has helped us going through those very hard, bad circumstances. Another thing I want to share on how do you have hope is replace your fear with God's faithfulness. When you know God's faithfulness, it helps counter the fear that you're going through, the fear that something else bad is going to happen. Focus on God's faithfulness, who he is. When you shift your focus to who he is, it oftentimes can take your focus off your circumstances.
Well, and you have to be intentional sometimes right. about that. This isn't something that just automatically comes to us. You know, even though I have read the Word of God for however many years, it's just, these aren't automatic responses. I wish they were, but they're not. I have to be intentional about basically taking my fear, surrendering it to God and replacing it with his faithfulness and his character and his goodness and kindness. And, you know, again, we've talked about in other episodes about what voice are you going to listen to? And I think that applies even to this episode. Like there are tons of voices coming at us 24 hours a day. Some of them we allow and some of them we can't control, like my husband, you know, no, but we have to be intentional about what we're going to allow into our mind space and into our lives, because it all impacts us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So we have to be very mindful about how we navigate something like dealing with what we're dealing with in the midst of the struggle.
Another thing that's important to do, at least we have found it very, very beneficial when you are going through a situation like this, is seek godly counsel. I know that because I have struggled with finding hope when one thing after another bad is happening and I'm fearful. We've talked about how this is really based out of fear
right.
that something else is going to happen, that another shoe is going to drop. I've needed my counselor to put things in perspective and say, and tell me who God is. Remind me
right.
who God
right.
is. And also just in therapy, work through this.
Right.
Because if you've gone through one bad thing after another, that can be very traumatizing
right.
and can cause you to be extremely fearful for the future and the present. And so seeking godly counsel has been very beneficial for me. And I just encourage you that if you have gone through something like this, to seek godly counsel.
Absolutely. And, you know, we also have to deal with triggers. When you have dealt with trauma, there's these triggers that linger that impact your life on a daily basis sometimes. And it's just like going, getting godly counsel is seeking someone outside of your circle, outside of your family, outside of your friends. It's someone who is outside of what it is that you've already experienced, what you've already dealt with, and they can give you, like you said, a different perspective, a godly perspective, and help get you refocused and help to renew your mind to what is true instead of basing your experience on the unknown and your fear and your worry.
And I just want to end with this ultimate truth, that hope is a person.
Yes.
Scripture says the God of all hope. God is our hope. So if you feel hopeless in the midst of your circumstances, you can trust that God is hope. And my prayer for you is that just that you would ask God to help you to live based on what he's said, not what you see. Because I know that in my own life, there have been times where all I can see is suffering. All I can see are bad things happening all around me. But when I shift my focus to who he says that he is and what scripture says, and when I shift my focus to hope himself,
right,
I have hope that this is not the end of the story and that God is in control and he is good and he is working it all together for my good.
And this verse really is like a prayer, and it's in the book of Romans, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that, because when we seek after hope himself, when we seek after the God of all hope, he fills us with joy and peace as we trust in him. Right?
Yeah.
We're not going to trust in the unknown. We're going to trust in the God who knows the unknown, who's already there in the future before we even get there, who already knows every detail of our lives. And that's so that we can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and so that we can pour out the hope that we have into the lives of others. And really, that's what we're trying to do in this episode. Ultimately, we don't have all the answers. Like, we're in the midst of this journey too, and we are seeking God too, and we are desperate for Jesus right now, just as desperate as we were for him yesterday. I mean, we need hope. We need Jesus. And so these are hard things. We know that. And we have dealt with so many difficult days ourselves. And we don't know what's coming, but we can trust the God who holds the future and knows and has a good and perfect plan for all of our lives. And again, I want to mention what you said, that this is not the end of the story. This isn't the end. We have an eternity that is filled with immeasurably more than we can ever imagine coming. And God has made that possible. So why not seek after the one who holds your eternity so that you can trust him with right now?
Mom, will you end this episode by just praying for the person who is desperate for hope right now?
I would love to. And I just want to start it though with a prayer that I found when I was actually looking up some verses. It's an absolutely beautiful prayer. So I'm just going to read this. Lord, help me to hear you saying, I am your hope over all the other voices. Lord, your word says you are the hope for the hopeless. So I'm running to you with both hands stretched out and grabbing onto you. Fill me up with hope and give me a tangible reminder today that hope is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, that you are my hope. God, you know those things that I wrestle with in my heart, the things that I fear and the things that I'm anxious about. Lord, help me to dare to hope for more today. Help me to see you in the midst of every moment, Lord. And I'm just going to add this. Father, I pray that you would help us all to see immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, and trust that you are the God of all hope and that you will walk with us one moment at a time, one day at a time, one prayer at a time, but all in your perfect timing. In Jesus' name, amen.